Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rakari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you. So visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
All right, guys, welcome in. Episode 32 of Coffee and Shell. I am No Sleeves, joined by my co-host, as always, Kesso. And start how we always do, Kesso. Tell me about your weekend, or I guess your week now. Yeah. We're recording this. We're trying to catch up here.
We've been trying to catch up. We've been doing these on like Wednesday and Thursday. It's been working out better, dude. And honestly, a lot of yard work recently. I'm enjoying this warm weather, man. Like, I feel like, you know, during that NHL season, we act like we play like a real NHL season, like the professionals. But during like the streaming, like the consistent streaming time for me and stuff, I feel like now my mental health is like really good. Not to sound like lame or whatever, but I started waking up at 6:30 every day for the last 2 days. I'm starting it. And part of that preparation is the baby's coming. So I want to be able to wake up like a real adult.
Hey, let's go. Yeah, like what was your normal time?
Dude, 8 o'clock. And then I would immediately go to my desk to start work.
Yep. Yeah,
and
that's the home work from home issues that you usually just do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So now it's like I wake up, I'll put Bella outside. Henry will go outside like 30 minutes later. I'll have some water, coffee. I'll log on to my work computer. I'll look to see if there's anything on there, and then I'll step away again for a little bit. My wife leaves and then I can start work. I play a little bit of MLB sometimes at like 7 as well. And I just got Rizzo, so I'm really excited about that. That was
you just got Rizzo.
Dude, I did. I grinded for that.
Okay. All right. Okay. We can talk about that for sure.
But then,
I saw the picture.
What's that? What were you going to say?
I saw the picture of Henry just prowling in the, that's a great picture.
Dude, that was an amazing picture. He did look like a predator. Like he was waiting in the wild to pounce on somebody. But other than that stuff, watching the Penguins, very, very upset after last night.
Kind of a mess, eh? I kind of had a feeling they wouldn't close it out, but that series is so weird, man.
I think they would have closed it out had Crosby not gone down with 6 minutes left in the second. They were up 2-0 at that point. Mm-hmm. All the momentum, he leaves.
Has there been word on what's happening with him?
No, because
that's scary.
I know they said that he's going to be evaluated in Pittsburgh, right? I'm hoping it's like they took him out precautionary reasons, head injury. They evaluated him for a concussion. Maybe he doesn't have one. Maybe they're evaluating him again. I don't know what goes into it. I'm not a doctor for the NHL. I'm just hoping it's not worst case scenario and he's back either next game or game 7 if there is one.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And not to mention, like, they're on their third goalie, like, Louis Domingue, like, that. I've been pretty down on the Rangers the whole season just because, like, the Hart Trophy nomination just came out, and Shesterkin was one of them. Anytime a goaltender is a Hart Trophy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that he should be a Hart nominee for sure. I think the Rangers are a lot like the Kings, man. They're just early. They're just like, you know what I mean? Like, they will be. They have a lot of great young players, and I think that in like 2 years they'll probably maybe win or run the East. But I just think that they're early this year.
Okay.
But that series has been fun. Man, the playoffs have been super weird because every series is close, but every game is like a blowout.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. I haven't watched too much other ones. Just like highlights here and there, you know.
Toronto-Tampa has been really fun.
I know. I'm going to have to watch that tonight.
I really want Toronto to win. I think it's time. I think it's good for the sport. I think that the sport of hockey is better with Toronto going further because every round in the NHL playoffs, only in the NHL playoffs, does it get less interesting. And yeah. I think that's we talked about this prior in another episode, but like it gets less interesting because once your team's out, the teams that are playing, if it's not like end to end or like something insane's happening, it's like they're playing much slower because they're just tired. Like these guys have gone through like the first round is like they're the most energized they're going to be in the playoffs. Like there's crazy upsets, you know? So yeah. I really think that it would do the NHL really, really good if the Leafs can go a little bit further. And it's time. Like the Lightning, if the Lightning were to win again, I guess that'd be cool because I like seeing dynasties, but it's like enough. I'm not big on it unless it actually happens. Like, you know.
And I'm not big on it unless it's like my team, you know. Like if the Penguins did three in a row, like I'd be like, oh, that's awesome. They got their two in a row. So that was great. If the Lightning do that, like they're up there with like all-time teams. To do that in today's NHL, a three-peat is just like ridiculous. And it's probably not gonna happen, right? They're down 3-2. Hopefully we see a game 7.
Leafs, though.
I know, I but dude, they came back last game.
I could not. Nobody expected that. The way they came back.
Yeah.
Dude, the way they came back. It was all four of the big guys. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't they needed some random shorthanded goal from, like, David Kampf or something. It was, like, Tavares, Nylander, Morgan Riley, Marner, Matthews. Like, it was the way that it happened, it just seemed like they broke free of all, like, the shackles that they had just mentally put on themselves. So, the Oilers is the one that's worse.
What's going on there? Because those games are always like late. You're always streaming, so I'm assuming you're watching these games. I don't get to watch the Oilers and Kings.
I've done pretty well gambling on the playoffs, not going to lie. Bet responsibly. Mm-hmm. And the Oilers have cost me because it's my bias, but like as a realistic hockey fan, the Kings roster is one of the worst in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they don't even have Doughty. Like, they will.
He's not playing. That's how, like, out of tune I am with that series.
Yeah, it's like the Kings are, like, what the Avalanche were. Like, not even the Avalanche. I'm trying to think of a good comp. Like, they have they have the best prospect pool in the league. And in a couple of years, much like the Rangers, they are probably going to lead the conference because of how good their prospect pool is and the way that they've drafted just so well. But, good Lord, man, this Oiler, if the Oilers lose to this Kings team, this is like, I feel awful for Oilers fans because it's like the Angels in the MLB. You need to see the best player in the world. Like it just makes, it's the same thing with the Leafs moving on. Like it adds depth and intrigue from people that are just casual fans maybe they're not fans to see the best player in the world. It's just frustrating because the Kings, no matter who they play in the next round, it's like a Montreal situation last year where like it's just, if it happens, it's one of the most insane, like, you know, like, because if the Kings made the cup final, they would just get run over by whoever was in the West. Like, same thing with Montreal, right? So,
yeah, and that,
like, I just hope that
I know there were a lot of Montreal fans excited last year. I hated it just because it was like, this team's not good. Like, their goalie's playing amazing. I don't want to watch
this team. There's no debating them that their team isn't good.
Yeah.
Like, there was no debating it.
And I saw, like, with maybe it was game 5 between the Kings and the Oilers. I saw like a few like amazing plays from McDavid. Drysdale scored like twice, right? But they still lost.
Smith is just he has costed them two games, and it is just like, so I want to bring this up. McDavid in his post-game interview, like they ask him about what his feeling is on the game, and he like just so distraught and disappointed looks up and he's like, man, you score 4 in a playoff game, you need to win that game.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like, dude, like those are knives, bro. Those are knives, bro. It's like, Mike Smith, you know, figure your shit out. Like,
dude, Mike Smith for years now, he's 40, right? Like, isn't he 40 years old?
And he got signed to a 2-year contract. Yeah,
so he's always been, he is either the best goalie in the world or just complete dog shit.
Yeah, man. He's a great huck goalie.
He is, right? 6'4".
That's it, man. It's it. All right. So on today's episode, guys, we're going to talk about actually two esports events, the GWC. There's some news with that, as well as the IHF event that is now back. And I think that everyone needs to pay attention to that because it's going to be one of the more fun events that you're going to see in NHL esports. Also, our top five cartoons when we were kids, so stay tuned for that, because the top five seems to be like one of our like most like requested things, and I think that it's the most fun I have.
It is. It's the best part of the podcast. That's why we have to say it is
great.
It
is great. Yeah, because we just talk about our favorite stuff like that. Yeah. That's it. All right, so let's talk about GWC. Obviously, you're eliminated. It was announced finally that I will officially be the play-by-play voice of the GWC, which is pretty big for me, obviously. 3.5 years ago, that was the goal of mine in 2019, and I can't believe that it actually happened, not going to lie.
Yeah,
that so that'll exciting. Be fun. I replace Arda, which sucks for me because Arda's the GOAT. But yeah, I'm really excited. So I will be the play-by-play voice for every online game or every online stream where they play online. So this Saturday, for example, is the first one. The Xbox side of things, the Final Four will whittle down to, or sorry, the Final Four on each console, Xbox and Xbox Series X, will whittle down to the Final Four total. So there'll be two on each console. And then PlayStation will be next weekend. But I also get to go to the Netherlands for the live European finals. So I get to go to Amsterdam. So that's kind of fun.
Dude, I've been to Amsterdam. Amazing.
Is it sick?
Dude, okay, so, well, maybe we talk about this another time, but...
No, go ahead.
So, my wife and I, whenever we got engaged, we did a we did a European vacation, right? So, we went to London for a day or two.
Okay.
Took the train to Paris for 5 or 6 days. That's where we got engaged.
Oh, yeah, I remember
got
this,
down
actually.
On the knee, right? You know, the Eiffel Tower is in the background. And then that was amazing. Just like 5 or 6 days there. Then we went to Haarlem, which is about 20 minutes away from Amsterdam by train. Mm-hmm. And we stayed there for 2 days. And Amsterdam's crazy. I mean, it's probably more fun if you're like 21 and you're like in the doing all the shit that's there, right? Yeah. But like Haarlem, kind of a little bit more quiet, amazing architecture. City looks I guess the town looks amazing. Amsterdam looks cool.
I'm excited. I've never
been
to Europe.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of fun. I'm jealous now. I didn't realize it was there. I'm kind of jealous.
Yep. And then, so I'll be doing that. It's early June. Like, it's coming up soon.
No, Grisbin, who was the other person? Grisga?
Carlin she was joining me. They just informed me that Grizz will be joining me as well. He wasn't originally supposed to come, but he'll be joining us. Yeah, so, but it'll be me.
Grizz is going to be hitting up that red light district, huh? I'm just kidding.
And then we have the live finals in Montreal in July. That'll be at the entry draft. I know the NHL said that there's some cool stuff going on for that I get to be a part of with for the draft and some NHLers. So I'm really excited for that opportunity. But yeah, it feels good. It feels like this year definitely doesn't have the same hype, you know? Yeah. So going from Arda and Nasher to me and Grizz, obviously not the same panache, but when it comes to like the actual event, we're both really knowledgeable about it, and I think it's going to be like, I think it'll add a different kind of broadcast.
I think the people that watch it from the competitive side will probably enjoy it a little bit more because you guys have.
I think
not that like Arda and Nasher, greatest of all time at what they do, right, for this specific thing. But whenever you did it last year, I enjoyed listening to you because it was like, you know, the players really well and you know the game compared to them.
I'm excited for that aspect for sure. So GWC is just officially starting off for me, like kicking off for me now. So basically my weekends are chalked for the next few. But I also got reached out to by the IIHF because in 2020, it was like my first ever broadcast and my man Arda hooked me up with it because he wasn't able to do it. And I remember it's a lot. So essentially what the event is, they are in 2020, it's going to mimic that quite a bit. There'll be 22 countries. They will each have a qualifier for NHL. They will run their own qualifier for each country. The top two players, I believe it's one on Xbox, one on PlayStation. It might be just PlayStation. I don't remember, so don't take me. There's a registration. It'll be open. You can check out my Twitter. It's all there, or IHF Twitter. And you'll whittle down to two players. And you'll have two players from the U.S., Sweden, Finland, all of that, the ones that win the qualifiers. And then they will play each other in a group stage and then a quarterfinal, semifinal, final to win the IHF championship. Obviously, Ping is a disaster, but I'm not going to lie. It wasn't as bad as I thought as a viewing experience. Playing it is going to be tough.
Yeah.
But you, like, so when you play in high ping, you don't, it's not like packet loss where you're seeing freezing. It's just so heavy and delayed, right? But as a viewer, you can't really see that, right? And there's no way around it, right? Like, there's no way around it. So you go into this tournament knowing that at some point, if you're North American specifically, you're going to have to play on peer-to-peer, and it's going to be real, real tough. It is versus not Hockey Ultimate Team, which is another cool thing that, you know, it's finally we're moving away from that aspect. And the really cool part about it is it's aggregate scoring. So at least from my understanding, if it mimics 2020, so like Canada and the U.S. play, let's say, it'll be one of the players from Canada will play one of the players from the U.S., and they will play, and the aggregates, the score, whatever it is, let's say U.S. wins 5-2, that means that the second matchup that the Canadian team has to win by at least three. So it's a combined score, which I thought is awesome for an event in esports. I love that. And it's going to be really cool. So from my understanding, there's four groups, 22 teams, top two from each of the group stage will move on to the final eight. And the one thing I brought up today in the meeting, actually, was that in the first year of it, U.S. and Canada played really early. And I think it was on purpose because of like ping and timing. I mean, I floated the idea. I'm like, I would love it if you guys separated Finland, Sweden, U.S. and Canada.
Yeah.
So that those four each have a group, because those four are clearly the best four nations of NHL gaming. No offense to all the European teams, because I think there's actually going to be some surprising ones. I remember the one really cool aspect of the event was some of the European nations that had really good hut players that I didn't know because I don't get to watch them. So like Denmark had one. I'm drawing a blank now. But there's a player that plays hut all the time. He's in my chat and he was one of my longest followers and could drive me nuts. And I want to say it's Vikes, but it's definitely not Vikes. And then there was another one from Germany, has a few really good players. You've got the Czech Republic. Lady Brunette won Slovakia, and won that first round. Like, it was just really cool. So it's a really fun event. And they're bringing me back on for it. So that'll be in June, or that'll be in July. So like as the GWC is ending, this will just start for me. So it'd be busy a couple of weekends for months for esports, I guess, but I'm excited because then after that is my off season essentially.
Yeah.
It's like NHL is toast. Any sports game is, just for the record, when it comes down to the last 3 months of the game. MLB I've been really liking, though. So you've been playing it more or what?
Yeah, dude, and I love it. And I haven't even been playing online. I've just been doing like...
Isn't that crazy? The offline experience is fun?
Yeah, it is. And it's fun because it's like there's that constant progression, right? And I know it's just like they're training my brain to enjoy the offline mode. But even then, like, I enjoy trying out new hitters, just practicing random things. So like the April awards, like... All those goals that you have to get, it's a grind, right? But like it makes you use new players that you typically.
That Taylor Ward card, bro, was.
He was
mashing for me.
That's the last one I needed, and I hit like, you know, whatever, and I got the 500 points with him, and that allowed me to get Rizzo.
Let's go, dude. Let's go. Yeah. I've loved that. I think that. Something that's been critical in MLB is that the rewards have been kind of underwhelming compared to prior years. It looks like this year is a transition year for them, and they're really trying to lock down the power creep.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the first year it's going to be tough and annoying because, you know, like
it's just change for them.
High
right?
90s. Yeah. Like I think the first player of the month was Buxton last year, and he was a 96.
Yeah.
Rizzo was a 91, and he's a first baseman. So a lot of people were kind of hounding on that because it's a lot of first basemen. Including Carlos Delgado. Like, that was sick, getting Carlos Delgado as a card released. No, it's been good. I've played like 800 hours of it.
Yeah.
I'm getting to the point where I did a Hutchamps run this weekend.
Oh, wow. We're already back to NHL, huh?
Yeah. Well, dude, the absence makes the heart grow fonder. I did miss it. I actually wanted to take away, like, if I could not look at the mode and just, like, load up the game and immediately go into like a hut game, I think I'd enjoy it more because it pisses me off how little there is to do.
Yeah.
So like I just miss playing the game. And I think a lot of people when it comes to NHL that are so hardcore with it, like if you were to not play it for a little while, you'll get it, man.
I saw this clip somebody posted on like Reddit, and they had like come back from like a 3-goal lead with like a minute left, and I was like, hey, that looks kind of fun. playing the game. And then I was thinking, like, oh, do I really want to load in the Hot Champs? Do I really want to play that? So I'll give it a bit. IIHF is coming up, right? I'll play some versus games for that. And that'll be my foray back in the NHL, maybe. Unless I just break down before then.
Maybe, huh? Maybe. Yeah. All right, what else we got to talk about?
Dude, you know what I like about MLB? These random low-rated players that are just fun to use. Like, I was using Brandon Lau. Okay. And dude, he was sick. He was really good.
Okay,
he was
isn't that cool?
He was only an 80, but like I was just hitting home runs with him.
Yordan Alvarez, gold card.
What,
dude?
What
is he? I hit home run. He's a right or left fielder.
Okay,
he hits like the most comical home runs for me, where my PCI is not even close.
Okay,
and it's like if he gets it within like the foul tip zone, so like the outer PCI portion, it's like a home run. I don't know what it is. I wish, like, because I'm like such a like gotta have the best cards, it like drives me nuts that I've got this gold player that like isn't like I just love, man. He is so good. And it's crazy that there's so many swings that are just like that we don't have that in NHL.
Yeah.
Play, because everyone asks me like, does he play better? The only differentiating factor in NHL when it comes to players is, are they as fast as their speed indicates? Like, so Jager, for example, Kessler.
Yeah.
That car was broken. There's a few that, like, just cannot get a breakaway, like, cannot break away from other players, even though they have high speed. And the other thing is, do they get knocked off the puck easily? Like, because, like, I always use Pedersen as an example. I think he's 6'2", right? But he's built like a, you know, I don't know. He's like 180 pounds.
Yeah, he's
pounds,
less
right?
than that. I think he's like 170, like you said.
Yeah, and he gets knocked out of the puck so easily because everyone just focuses on height, but that isn't the whole thing, right? So, but other than that, man, they all play the exact same. Like they play very similar, right?
Yeah.
And in MLB, man, the swings are so different. Like there's some swings that it might be slower that help out certain players that are always early. And then there's other ones where players can't use those swings. Like, they just suck, right? And I think that's a really interesting part of MLB for sure.
I just like how I don't know a lot about baseball, but there are players I remember. So I got lucky and I think I got lucky. I don't know, like, the value and stuff on a lot of cards, but I pulled that Gary Sheffield from, like, a Headliners pack.
He's not expensive anymore, but, like, he that was a pretty sick card. Like, that's a good pull.
Yeah, and he's amazing against lefties, I think, right?
Yep.
But dude, his stance, exact thing I remember from like 15 years ago baseball, huh? You know, it looks just like it.
That's cool.
Yeah, dude. It's just, it's a good game. Like it's fun.
I think they announced their summer circuit as I get in.
I saw that $25,000 tournament.
Dude, isn't that wild? They're so far behind in esports.
Yeah, it is.
It's crazy. They don't have a weekend league, which I'm stunned they didn't add this year. I really thought they were going to because they're like hip to what the community wants.
Yeah, and you know? So like,
whether
what
they implement or not, they at least address it.
What do like the top comp players even stream then? Is it like ranked seasons and then like
ranked seasons, a lot BR runs, things like that. That's
oh, I
it.
Went
and
flawless
then this,
for the 50th time, right? Like that's
yeah,
that's
exactly,
it.
Yeah. But ranked is really it. So getting like top 50 in the world is like a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, well, that but, for this game, right? Because there's millions of people to play it.
100%, yeah. Like there's over, like last year, I think there was 6 million people that played MLB 21, which is just absurd. But yeah, like esports wise, it's just not nearly the same level. So like that's, you know, it's glad to see. I reached out to see, you know, I put the feeler out there, hoping the Twitter check mark, maybe it works.
For
to
what?
See if I could get broadcast for that.
Oh, for that that whatever that 25K
the summer
one?
Circuit. Yeah,
dude, that'd be sick.
I would love that, man. I would love that. So I'm still trying to get in the MLB community as much as I can. Still making videos. You know, it's a tough grind. I think that I forget that, you know, it took me 5 years to get to the level I'm at in NHL. It's going to take that with MLB regardless of my starting point.
Maybe three. Right. Maybe three.
Maybe three. Yeah, it's
a little
bit less.
Because you have that experience, right?
Exactly. Like, and I do have
you know what to do.
Yeah, exactly, right. And I'm starting with a decent, like a good following from NHL. So a lot of people play MLB that play NHL. So I played my first baseball game in real life last night.
Oh, okay. How'd that go?
Pause the subathon. I thought about bringing them, but I was like, I think we need a time apart.
Yeah, and you don't want to embarrass yourself if it's your first game, right? All we need is like a GIF or like a meme of you
imagine,
out there.
Imagine,
just...
bro. That's it. It's over. But no, it was good to like, first of all, I drove to the game an hour early, and I just sat in my truck. It was, the sun was going down. I was at the diamonds that I play at are like beautiful. It's out in Niagara on the Lake, which is like famous for like wine country.
Yeah.
Niagara is famous for like wine. So it's in the middle of there we play, and it is just so, I just sat there and I'm like, man, I missed this, you know? We had a couple new players on the team. Our team last year, so this is my 10th year in the league with this team. And it's a lot of my best friends, like my close friends. My best friend Kyle's on the team. And then my other buddy, my extremely good friend Jesse, like another one of my best friends. We've all been together, and we've been to each other's weddings or in each other's wedding parties, and like, so like it's been fun. But last year we went 1-15.
Oh God.
It was, and me and Kyle are very competitive. And last year, like, I'm not a great hitter. Basically a slap hitter in slow pitch. I literally just hit to first base and like I hit it over the first baseman's head. I bat righty and I just clip it into right field, so opposite field. And I'll either leg out a double or take my single, and that's it. Shortstop, I play very good. Mm-hmm. So me and Kyle would get really frustrated. Like, we'd play the first five innings. It'd be close. We'd get blown out, and then we'd just drink on the bench. Like, we'd just be so rattled by it. So this year that we brought one of the teams folded, better teams folded, and we brought in, like, some really good players. And last night was our first, like, game at it. Dude, I knew that my physical health from the subathon has taken its toll. Like, I just haven't moved, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I haven't eaten well, and I've definitely gained. I'm probably the most I've ever weighed, potentially. So, I knew it was going to be rough. Dude, it felt like I was running and moving with, like, a 40-pound heavy bag.
Oh, I bet.
It was bad. However, I went 3-for-3, made a couple of great plays at shortstop, didn't really miss a beat, but my God, dude. It was bad. And then my buddy Kyle.
You got, like, the Jason Giambi build, you know, at the end of his career.
It was bad, but I'm excited to go. It made me realize how excited I was for like the gym. And yeah. I had been missing that since I had gone like psychotic with it in 2018, 2019. So I'm really excited for that. And Skyla seems like she's never been a gym goer. She's mm-hmm. just always naturally skinny and small, which is just the most frustrating thing in the world. But she's been like eagerly talking about it and whatnot. So I'm excited for that, right?
Yeah.
But I am so sore today. It feels like I did a full leg body workout, like four heavy sets of bench press. Like, I am, it is alarming that just baseball took this much out of me.
Yeah.
So, it is what it is. And
I was about to say, I felt the same way. Was it Sunday? Mother's
Day.
You're
mowing the lawn and all that stuff?
Yeah, dude. So, like, I did that, right? Weed whacked. Did mulching,
I'm had a big carry mulch guy. I like it. It looks so clean.
Yeah. So like carrying like the 20 bags, but I was out there for like 5 hours, like moving stuff, doing whatever. The next day I was just like sore. And I know that like month prior, I had like, my semester was wrapping up, GWC and stuff like work. So like, there's just a lot of sitting. So like, I'm trying to make it a thing where every day after work, like 4:30, like I go outside and do something. So like, yesterday weed whacked again. The day before was something else.
That's
good. So I feel so much better at night too, like mentally, whenever I'm just like outside doing something. So I have to add it into my schedule. And this is like the most obvious. Like, there's like probably like a dude like listening to this or like watching this right now. It's like, yeah, no shit. Like, don't be a fat ass, you know, get outside. But like, it's hard whenever, you know, you have like obligations and stuff that require you to be at your desk.
I think like one of the things the subathon has done is like, first of all, this is an excessive amount of streaming. To put this in perspective, I'm about to pass, or I already have passed. I'm about to hit like 70% of my entire time streamed all of last year.
Yeah.
In this 6 weeks. And again, I'm blessed and I will keep it going as long as the boys will have me on stream. I love that. But I don't think I'll be streaming weekends.
Yeah,
until the show comes out. I think that I want to really focus. My YouTube channel is taking a hit because I just don't have the effort or interest in making videos because I'm like, you know, like that's work. And I'm just like streaming all the time. So it's just like, so that's been tough. But I will definitely take the weekends off. And what's crazy is that they've always been worse for views. No matter what, like for everyone in the NHL directory. I don't know why. I think people just don't realize how much older the NHL directory skews mm-hmm. on Twitch specifically. But my goodness, it's,
Yeah.
It's been pretty crazy with it. But I won't be training weekends. And something I'm going to take definitely into account going forward is I think I'm going to take the first 4 hours of my day, like, or an excessive amount of time. Like if I wake up at 7 with Skyla until like 11 or noon even, I'm legitimately just going to focus on health. Like, I'm going to go to the gym for a long time with no time limit or rush that I need to be home to go and do this, go and do stuff and whatnot, go and do an hour of cardio. And I don't mean running. I mean walking, take my dog for a walk, go rollerblade. I haven't rollerbladed in so long.
Oh, that sounds fun. I haven't done that since I was like 15.
Dude, when I was in high school, what I would do every night is in the summer, like in the warm months, obviously, is I'd strap my rollerblades. I'd grab a bocce ball and a stick and my gloves, and I would go to my high school because it was very close. And what I would do is there was this park, the parking lot in there, it had a row of parking spots, and it was like just two, right? So like one and one in the middle of the parking lot, and then obviously parking spots around the edge, but down this middle. And I used it as a slalom, and I would try and time myself to see how fast I could skate going in and out of each parking spot all the way down. And it was just, I would do it for hours, yeah. Bro. I just loved it. And I don't know if it's because of Nasher when I was talking to him, and obviously he like blades a ton, and it just made me miss it. So I'm gonna go pick up a nice pair of rollerblades, and definitely going to spend the first 4 hours of my day just I'm excited to lose the weight.
Mm-hmm.
And like not in like a now's the time I'm gonna get healthy, right? Like I've done it before, so I like that's the one thing like I take like I'm happy about, or at least I know, because I know what it takes to go through and lose. Like I lost over 60 pounds. So, like, I know what it takes to go through and lose it again. The work required is insane, but, like, I know the steps, and I just – this is the first time I've been fired up to, like, do it again on, like, just a life. And I just want to be healthy. Like, I, yeah. You know, maybe it's because I'm older. Getting COVID sucked.
I mean, I think it's that and be sitting down for over a month doing a stream.
That too, man. Yeah. I will be going back to the chiropractor, like, because I can feel – when I'm – so I took, like, 20 minutes to have dinner with Skyle the other night. And I just stood up. I didn't sit at our table or our island. I just stood, and it was painful to stand. And yeah. I guarantee you, a lot of people listening or gamers that play a lot or work from home, like if you were to stand straight, and I'm saying like you're at a pretend you're at a party, like it is not. You will get uncomfortable because your back is not used to just being. As you watch me sit, I'm like slouched way down.
Dude, like, I always feel that way at any like not after 20 minutes, but like. If you're at an event where it's like you have to stand for 2 hours, and I'm like, geez, like how do people do this?
It's just wild.
Like stand, like
I remember working retail in high school.
I was like, just about to say that for those retail
8
workers.
Hours a day.
Yeah.
Like, good God, man, how do you do that? Like, I couldn't imagine that now.
Yeah.
But
dude, so yeah. Last night, or no, sorry, Tuesday night, I started my summer semester. I have to take two classes.
I'm graduating. You're always in school. I feel like you're someone who's just one of those guys that's just never not in school.
I know that's what it's been the last 3 years. So it's a 4-year program. So I'll graduate in May. In order to graduate in May, I had to take two summer classes. So I have a business law class, and I have business to business, right? And
B2B.
B2B, right? Dude, these people love hearing themselves talk. These people.
Oh, bro.
These people.
With all the jargon?
And it's like, you know the type of person I am. I like joke, but like you probably can't tell I'm joking because I have
that dry. It's very subtle, very dry, but it's there. Yeah,
the business law class. They were talking about executive orders and how it impacts certain things. And the professor is like, you know, a president might feel the need to do this or they might want to do this. So I type in our Zoom chat. I'm like, he needs to cancel student loans. That's what he needs to do. And like nobody laughed. Nobody like even responded to me. I'm like, I probably sound like one of those like insane like political people, and I'm not. And then the business to business class, I tried to fake it last night. So we went around introducing ourselves.
Okay.
You know, like we had to say like our name, what we do and why we took the class, right? So like I go and I'm like, you know, I'm a senior financial analyst. I work for a company that does cybersecurity for the Department of Defense. And then I'm like,
nice flex.
Yeah. So it's like, I was like, you know, even though I work in finance, in my field, I feel like numbers are the least important thing. I've always tended to take more marketing classes because I feel like those skills directly translate to influencing decisions and communication. And I was like, oh, that sounds impressive. And he just like didn't even acknowledge me. I was like, I guess I can't fake it, you know?
Well, that's good. It's only two classes. How often are your classes?
Tuesday night. It's for like 12 weeks. And then the Wednesday night one is only 6 weeks long. So I have like five more weeks of it.
Okay.
So I'll still have like a month break. What's that?
Hired an accountant.
You
went
did?
Hired an accountant. Yeah, oh, okay. I did.
Yeah, you were talking to one last week, right?
Yeah, like, and a couple of, like, things that, like, so, like, I've been told by a lot of people to become incorporated, and, like, that, like, dude, you gotta have an LLC, bro, like, and I feel like a lot of people don't realize that YouTubers and whatnot, because we don't have a lot of overhead. This is the issue with being a YouTuber and content creator, is that you do not have a lot of expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a very good year, I was blessed and had a pretty good year, there is not a lot you can write off, so your tax, like, I took it on the chin, which I knew was going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, hired an accountant. She was really cool. You know,
she had, they had another customer,
yeah,
or client that
they
was
had
a
Twitch streamer. So yeah, she was already kind of like understanding of like what costs there are and things like that. I asked her some, she's a chartered accountant, right? So she doesn't mess around. So I was like, listen, I have like a, like my channel is loosely fitness based because technically it started out like that. Like it's sleeveless gaming. It's part of my gimmick, right? And I was like, I had an extremely expensive, because before this happened again, I trained last year heavy. Like I went to a professional trainer. Dude, it was like, it was excessive. It was like $400 or $500 a month.
Yeah.
And he trains athletes, but it was like where I don't know. I was bored of just normal training. And I was like, can I write that off? And she like looked at me like, maybe we'll talk about it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so it was nice to have someone that could definitively tell me stuff, because I didn't have any of that, right? Mm-hmm. Like I was just guessing. So that makes me feel good. And I'll find out in like a couple days, like what the damage is. But, you know, that just comes with life. And soon I'll be in Florida and won't have to pay state tax.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, whenever we talked last week, I told you that idea for that business, right? Like that.
Yep.
I think that's a really good idea.
I told you, dude.
I think it is.
When you were saying it, I was like, bro, that literally sounds like the start of someone creating a business.
Yeah, and so I went on, I Googled like if that was a specific thing. And there was like one CPA firm, I think, that said that they work with them. But
no one
like,
specializes it though.
Yeah, there wasn't like a lot of like you said, like specialization. I can't talk. Yeah. What is the word? Specialization. Yeah. Oh my God. Excuse me. So there wasn't a lot of that online, right? And I'm thinking, I think I would have to do it with somebody, but I think it's a good idea. And I think we could like, if you're listening to this and you're a full time streamer and you don't know what you're doing with your finances, reach out to me. I would like to test something. You know, talk to you, see what it's like, see what your struggles are.
I would give you my numbers if you want to try it.
Yeah.
It might not be it. Like, here's the thing. I'll tell you, as a content creator, like YouTuber or not Angel, a content creator or a Twitch streamer, guys, like, you do not get taught. Like, I would be willing to bet there is a scary amount of people that make even like $5,000 a year from Twitch and YouTube that do not claim it on their taxes and have no idea what to do with it. Especially
yeah, for
if you're
sure.
Canadian and you probably just assume you don't pay tax on it because it's American. I've talked to people that don't even think like that. You know? So like Terry O is a perfect example. So Terry O in my chat, this is being recorded live. He actually worked with me at my prior company before I left.
Mm-hmm.
And he is becoming a very popular NHL streamer. And he is, I can see, like I notice his sub count and I know, and like I can do the math. And I guarantee you, like, if you make like $5,000 to $10,000, it doesn't seem like a lot because it's you don't get a check of it, right? Like your sub count goes up and down throughout the year. It's all spread out. Some months you'll make like 200. Some months you'll make 1,000. And at the end of the year, tax time comes, and you're like, ah, you know, it's like, you know, it's just whatever. You're just, you know, it's a hobby. It's like, no, dude, like you got to pay tax on that.
Yeah.
And then there's an amount at which you have to make before you can start writing stuff off. And I feel like there's probably streamers who try to write off like buying 4 new monitors because they claim they're a streamer, but you're listed as a hobby until you make a certain benchmark, especially in Canada. And you, if you're a content creator, you probably don't have, unless you are someone who's numbers oriented and like finance and things like that, you have no interest in it. Like,
yeah.
I just want to be told what to pay. I'm not good with money. My wife handles all of our money. I will literally just buy whatever I want whenever I want. Money means so little to me, which is not a good thing. But like, I don't have, like, I'm just like, I can go earn more. I've mm-hmm. always been like that. Even when I wasn't a content creator, like, I'd be like, if I wanted to go buy something crazy, I'd go buy it. And then I would just work 60-hour weeks to make up for it.
I've always felt that way, and I always felt like, I'm always going to stumble into like a random $2,000 or $3,000. Like my wife and I were talking 2 months ago, and we were just like we sometimes like maybe every month or two, we like budget out for like our baby or something or whatever it is. Like last year was our wedding. And I was like, oh, we could use another like $2,000. And then you text me the one day and it's like, oh, do you want to do the shootout tournament? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. And you're like the first place prize, like this much money. I'm like, oh, look at that. And I was like, oh, I guess I got to win this thing, you know? And it always seems to happen that way. And I'm sure you feel the same way with random things in like, you know, your line of work, right?
Dude, like I am now about to call the biggest esports event that there is for NHL.
Yeah.
2018. I got knocked in like the third round of the Leafs Gaming League the first year they did it, and I had 200 viewers, which at the time was absurd. Like I would average 10 to 20, but because there was a tournament on and I was like following along the tournament, the bracket, and showing all the other top end players going and whatnot, and I had 200 people, and I stopped when I got knocked out, and I'm like, I don't want to just raid someone. 200 viewers, it's like, this isn't going to happen again. And so I found Josh streaming, and he had no one watching. Like, this was all, we were all the current NHL people were small. This is like the Nuge and Sod era.
Yeah.
And so all the, like, Gren, all those guys, like, they didn't have a following. And I would watch them, and I would just play-by-play over it. And I did it for, like, 8 hours. And then
I remember whenever you started this, yeah.
Exactly. And then the next week, it was the Washington Capitol one, and I did a 12-hour stream. It was the one where you where you didn't qualify. You got knocked in the finals or something like that before you did qualify.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly, but I remember that you got lost at the very end, and it was like a very good series, but I was so, my voice, I couldn't talk, but that was all I did. I streamed the whole thing, and I was like, hey, maybe I could like do this or whatever, because I knew that I had to find ways, alternative ways to stream and make money if I wanted to be a full-time NHL creator, because it's not, it is... If you become a full-time content creator with NHL, and I'm talking like no YouTube, but just Twitch, like you're an anomaly. You've done something that no one else has done.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, what are the odds that I end up being that? So I was just like, okay, I'm going to do that. And then I flew myself to the 2019 GWC with the purpose of just talking to all of the correct people that were running the tournament. And then I met Chris Gallier. And then the next year I got asked to do like the pregame show with Tactics. The year after that, I got asked to be on the broadcast once, and then this year, I'm the voice. So like, it's it's been good though. And but this, when we were talking, I think that everyone, I will say this: there's something that the way that I've been able to get to like make it a living in content creating with NHL specifically, you have to have some sort of like business instinct. You have to have an instinct of, or not just business, but like intuition of being like, this is a good idea that could parlay into something bigger.
For sure.
I actually have something coming for 23 that I'm in the works of having made. Like, so it'll be, which I'll talk to you off.
Well, you have to end the stream finally, because I kind of missed those talks where it's like, oh, this is going on.
Yeah.
You know, now, but it's, no,
when we were
live.
Talking. And I was like, you were like, dude, you're talking about you should be the tax guy for streamers. I was like, bro, there is thousands of YouTubers and streamers that have no idea what they're doing that you could make an absolute killing on. And you have a knowledge now of what being a content creator is like. And taxes aren't that difficult once you do them once.
See, I would like to do it, not even related to taxes, but overall finances in general.
Helping them plan their money out better?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, what does retirement look like if, you know, for this, you know, depending on how things are going for you? Like, money management, right? Like, what are your monthly expenses? Like, what are your goals? Like, do you have a family? Like, are there certain things you need in the future? So I don't know. I don't know what it would be, right?
Yep. I think that would be something that you should definitely look into. I have a... Do I want to talk about this on stream? It's kind of exciting, and I like the idea. This is my problem, is that like I feel like I'm going to get burned one time, because whenever I come up with an idea that I think would be game-changing for me, I always like to talk about it. But at some point, someone's going to do it before, but I won't. So I am – obviously, the subathon financially has been pretty incredible for myself.
Yeah.
And I don't want to just waste it. I don't want to just like put it into a down payment on a house. Like, that would be cool, but I mean, that's
all the money's gone, right? The house is $1 million.
And I don't have any interest in owning a home in the current landscape in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there isn't really a lot to invest in. The only thing I can do is hire like another editor. Like I could that is really the only overhead that as a content creator I can do.
You mean invest in actually, terms of your stream or your content?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Like I can't really, I already have like my stream setup can't get much better. Right.
Yeah.
So what my plan was, you know how everyone asked me when NHL comes out, which card would I choose?
Yeah.
And I did those Who Should You Choose videos. I've done like 100 and 200 of them in the last like, you know, couple years. And something that's come to me, or a thought that came to me, was why isn't there just a site or an app where you can go and say, hey, who would you choose between these two cards? And you can access it whenever you wanted.
Okay.
And I think I was in talks with a really good website developer that I'm friends with. And I think that might be an actual thing come 23. So what do you think?
Will that just be for NHL or would that be all games?
It'll be NHL. I would start with NHL. So the database, we will have a database of exactly like HUD IQ and NHL HUD Builder. So, okay. You know, I will have to hire people to do that because I'm not adding cards in every day.
Yeah.
And what I will do is I will have a ranking system that is uploaded that I will literally change completely. And it'll start out with one card. So, hey, would you rather have this Miro Heiskanen Master Set player? Or would you rather have this Adam Foote Team Builder? And you put that in. There will be a cost to it, probably like $5 Patreon because I have to fund the website. I was thinking like a $5 fee, like a membership. Or maybe I tie that into Twitch sub. I don't know because it depends on the overhead cost because it's going to cost me a lot of money to build the site. And then people can literally do it. And this is at any time because the issue is when I stream, I get a ton of Team Builder questions because that's when I'm live, right? Yeah. And then on my YouTube channel, I had to make a video that people would comment on, but I would get 85 comments in a day. And then the next day I would only get to like 10 in the video, right? So I'm thinking that. And then what it could turn into is full team builds. So you put in your team and I'm like, and then it'll show like thing will come up in red being like, I would change this to this. And go from there. But the first year, that is what I think I'm going to launch in 20. And I am speaking with a app developer that to see if it's possible if they were to pull it from the site that I'm going to use. And we'll see how it goes. I don't know. That's my plan to use with the majority of the money from the subathon.
That makes sense. I would love to talk to you more about this off stream. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because no, it's
the thing that I'm now about what no one is doing in the NHL community. That if you look back at the history of streamers and content creators, they stick to a niche of whatever video game they're in, and eventually people come in and do new stuff and replace them. That is just what happens. You might not go away, but your growth will be stunted. It just stops. And when you get to the top, there's no more just trying to outwork and whatever. Because like in content creation, you have to come up with things that make people excited to come back all the time, right? So now it's not like, okay, I need to make more videos. It's like, I need to make something that no one else is doing, right? Like no one else is doing this. I need to be the first to do it. This subathon, I'm not the first person to have a subathon, but in the NHL community or among NHL streamers and whatnot, no one has gone 36 days of streaming, right? Yeah. Like, so that's like something that I try to do like to excessively, right? And I think that like ideas like that, like the Who Should You Choose videos were another thing. Like it was literally like, I'll just read the comments from the prior video and you guys ask. But then I just made my Discord like so that everyone that could talk, because there's not enough time in the day for me to answer everyone.
Yeah.
That was my feeling on it. And I don't like making those videos because it's a lot of like me saying the same cards over and over again.
Oh yeah, it's the same video every day, right? But it's exactly. Just like instead of this card, it's this card. But it's like there's not a lot of creative freedom in it. It's the same thing every single time.
And that gets boring to me, which will, in the way that I'm delivering the content, will mean that it's going to get boring for. Here's my other thing. This is like my next project, okay? I don't know if I should. I don't feel like anyone else is going to be able to execute this. So. and it's funny because I'm going to watch the YouTubers and see what they do. So there's a new feature in YouTube that you can now go to as a creator in studio, and it will show you, it's called research, and you can type in a search. So let's say NHL 22, right?
Yeah.
NHL 22. And it will give you the most searched results for that include NHL 22 around that topic, right? So I type in NHL 22. Did I ask you this on camera last time? I don't think so. Maybe. But I typed in NHL 22. How many things that were searched prior to NHL Hut came up, do you think there were? Topics of NHL. 22 specifically, not like hockey. Like
NHL 22 specifically. How to score.
How high on the list do you think those were?
Pretty high, I would guess. Am I wrong?
Give me a number.
I would say NHL 22, how to score. I would say 3.
Okay. The first Hut NHL search topic, when you type in NHL 22, was 8.
Okay.
The first 4, dude, give me a blow. Be a pro.
Oh, holy shit.
Yeah. So I saw that and I was like, what the hell is this? Then it was franchise mode. And then it was like gameplay. And then it was NHL 22 Hut. And I was like, I haven't made a Be a Pro video.
Yeah, that makes you think like, oh, what do I focus? I mean, to me,
and
that
now,
means...
a lot of it's driven by Nasher. Lot of it's driven by Nasher because Nasher does Be a Pro video. And literally one of them is NHL 22 Be a Pro Nasher. Right? Like, but like that... It was astounding to me. So I have an idea, and it is going to be a large undertaking. And it might be something – what I've been scared about in terms of content creation is, like, because my channel is basically – it's like live updates. So if I don't upload every day, my numbers take a big hit because the videos I make are, like, relevant in the now. Mm-hmm. But then in a week from now, no one cares about cards that came out in October, right? So that video won't be watched. It's basically done. It gets its hits, and that's it. So what that ends up hurting me with is that I don't put a lot of effort into videos that are long form and that take a long time to actually make, like 2 days to make, because I don't have extra time on top of that. So what I want to do is a hybrid franchise mode that has a Be a Pro tagged into it, where like the cutscenes are taken in the franchise mode. We're following a specific player that I draft, and I clip in the cutscenes. I get the interviews, you know how like the interviews and the cutscenes are all like text to read?
Yeah.
I bring on content creators to actually just say stuff.
Okay.
I even messed around with the idea of using GTA as like an outside of like the game like thing. And I was just like, I got really, really excited about the idea, which makes me happy. It's going to take a long time to execute, and Tyler is going to be busy because that'll basically be all he's doing. But just like... You know, like if I sim a game in franchise mode and I win 4-1, right? Then I control my Be a Pro and make it so I win 4-1 and I have X amount of points. But then I have footage of my guy that I can throw into the franchise mode.
Yeah, because him and the other teammates are going to the strip club in GTA after, right?
Exactly. So. Exactly. That's why they're tired.
Well, I mean, you got to make it PG because you have to get those sweet Nasher results, right?
Exactly. But like that's like a grandioso view, so I'll probably start off a little bit small on that. But
terrible idea. You ready for this?
I can't wait.
When you had the Evander Kane stuff was happening, if you have him in your team, you have a cutscene in GTA with him holding the gun. Oh my god, I'm gonna get canceled. Didn't that happen to him? Didn't he have a gun or something?
He went to a photo shoot.
Yeah,
he went to a photo shoot and like they had a picture of him with a Glock or something, and like it got blown way out of proportion. It ended up not being like what it looked like, but it was just like on top of everything that was going on, it was like, good lord. But no, like I think that like story driven stuff is just completely gone outside of Nasher.
Yeah, right?
Franchise mode is you sim, you make trades, and that's it. You're looking at menus. I want to put in cutscenes that are like legit. So what is? NHL 22 packs alert. One NHL player pack and one X Factor choice pack are available now to be redeemed by all players. Subscribe to EA Play. Mm. It is May.
Yeah, they're trying to compete with...
Where were you 6 months?
I don't even know what you get in an NHL players pack.
It's probably like four. It's probably like 10 cards, two 80 plus overall cards.
Yeah.
And an X Factor choice pack.
Dude,
that would have been a banger bonus back when you launched the game.
Yeah.
Dude, I love the comments, dude. X Factor pack in May. Anyways, let's go to our top five, though.
Yeah.
I'm ready for our top five. Top five cartoons.
Top five cartoons as a kid, right?
As a kid. So we're determining 10 and under?
Around that, yeah. Around
11 or 12 and under.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So I'll start it off. You started it off last week, I believe. So okay, my number, this is no order for me. Actually, I'll do it in order. Yeah. Number five, Dexter's Lab.
Okay. It's fun. So I need to preface this by saying, guys, I'm 32. Kesso is about to turn 30 this year.
Next April. I just turned 29 last
month. So there is a three-year gap. And what's hilarious is that when we were doing this, like before we started, you are going to distinctly be able to tell the age gap with mine compared to his, because I have a feeling yours are going to be ones that I was not interested in because I wasn't a kid anymore. So
yeah.
I did watch Dexter's Lab, and I respect it. I can just tell how your list is going to go. My number five, again, these are going to be very different. This is very tough. I wanted to say Metabots, but it was only one season. I was obsessed with it, but it didn't last long enough. Beyblade is my number five. I love Beyblade.
I did not get into that. I remember people had like the little kit that they would play with, right?
Yep. It was already probably over by the time that you were that you became old enough to like play with them. But the show
I had a good friend that was into it, that he had like one of those things. I never got into it.
Yep. I was it was sick. I loved the show specifically. I thought it was really cool. And it was long. But then they always get, like, in the future seasons, always they go to space or, like, do some, like, stupid stuff, and it gets all out. Yeah. But Beyblade is my number five.
Okay. Number four, I'm going to go Rocket Power. Great
show. Never watched it, I don't think.
Dude, I loved it because they had, like, some cool cameos from celebrities and stuff. But it was one of the few cartoons that, like, they would play street hockey in, right?
Okay.
And it was cool to see that in a cartoon because, like, hockey doesn't get on anything here, right? I mean, I know in Canada the biggest thing, but, like, in the United States, it's, like, football and baseball.
No, you're right on that. Okay, okay. My number four is Pokemon. It came out when I was 7 years old. It was literally made for me and my generation.
Yeah.
The first season's, like, 100 episodes. I remember being devastated when I couldn't – this is before you could stream it, guys. So you would literally have to just wait a week for the next episode to be released. And I would, I remember trying to watch that. Like, that show was, I still play Pokemon to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, that's number four for me.
Dude, how about how long that first season is, though, all the way to Indigo Road?
It's long, man. People don't realize how long it is.
Yeah. And, it's cool in that show. I think you can see, who's the legendary Pokemon in Silver and Gold? Is it Ho-Oh?
Oh, it's Ho-Oh. It's in the first episode.
Yeah, and he's in the first episode.
And Gold hadn't been, Gold isn't even released for like another like 2-3 years. But something else that's cool, it's like it follows the game so closely. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched anything after that. I maybe watched Johto, like the Gold and Silver region. I maybe watched that like, I can't remember it really, but I remember watching the first season. It was so close to the game where you would go to he's going to each of the gyms and whatnot. It's very close. Like, even when you get like, when he gets like Aerodactyl, gets attacked by Aerodactyl, like that's usually in the game when you could like get the fossil and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing the movie in theaters, and the one ending of one of the movies is it's like, it has like Donphan, who's like one of the new Pokemon in Johto and Gold. And I remember like, that is the coolest looking, like, cause it was like the next unreleased.
That was like that rock elephant type thing, right?
Yeah.
Like it had the move Rollout, right?
Yeah. It had the move Rollout, man. It's like, it's still one of my favorite Pokemon. Like, I just did a tier list and he was up there, but yeah. So Pokemon is my number four.
Okay. That could be number one on a lot of those. So number three is the last of, the classic cartoons. I would say Scooby-Doo, the original run. I used to watch that all the time. Dude, we actually watched some Scooby-Doo because it's on HBO Max, I believe. We put it on one night because we were like tired, and we're like, yeah, this is probably easy to fall asleep to. And it's amazing how many classic episodes there are of Scooby-Doo.
Dude, so me and my wife just did that with a completely different show. So I'm sure there's a lot of guys in the chat that could not admit it at the time, just given the era. But dude, Sailor Moon. I really liked Sailor Moon when I was a kid for some reason, but I couldn't admit that like I watched it.
Yeah,
I didn't watch it a lot, but like when it was on, I wouldn't turn it. And dude, that show might have been one of the worst shows ever made. So we watched it. We watched like the first like episode, and I was like, how did this make it as far as it did?
Is it that bad? I never watched it.
It's god awful. It is god awful. But it just reminded me when you said Scooby Doo. So. Yeah. My number three is the only one that this is the show I probably watched more than anything when I was a kid, put the most hours into, and that's Arthur.
Okay. They just ended the show.
I cannot believe it was still on.
Yeah, I didn't know it was on either.
I could not believe it because it was like Arthur was like the Seinfeld for kids. Like, that's legitimately what it was. It was 20 minutes. You watch it like 5 times a day. And it was like, I loved that show. I watched like every episode of it up until when I was like 10 or 11. Then it was like weird to like it. So,
yeah. Yeah. Dude, there was this guy in the NHL community named Bob Richards. You might have heard of him. But he used to watch Arthur every single day up until his like 20s. I was like, what in the world? Yeah, isn't that funny?
That's all right. That's a weird guilty pleasure.
Yeah. My number two, Dragon Ball Z. Dude, it's the GOAT show almost. It would be on every single day, I think at like 6 o'clock. And I made sure to watch it. There, like, it's just, did you watch Dragon Ball Z?
Okay. So I did not. I had friends who were obsessed with it. I did, like, I ended up going through a phase where I like bought the game and I was like, I'm learning this. Like, the issue with Dragon Ball Z was I'm a little bit older. So like it was in the era where there was just no access. So if you missed 3 episodes and try to pick up what was going on, there was no way to do that.
Yeah.
There was no way to find out what happened. So like I became really disinterested, really, because I remember trying to pick it up. I remember when Dragon Ball Z, when it was like when Gohan was older, when they tried to come up with like Dragon Ball
GT, they had
GT. I watched it from the start and it was awful.
Yeah, that one wasn't made by the original people. I think that's why.
And Dragon Ball Budokai 2, GOAT game, SAP Alien Chat, 100%. So like that game came out and I was like, okay, I'm all in. And there was just no access. And it frustrated me and I just stopped. Like, I remember why I got the first season, my buddy had it on DVD. Like when you had to have full seasons on DVD to watch something. And I watched the first season, but it just became too difficult to try because like, dude, like, you know, like, Goku's charging up like Spirit Bomb for like 4 episodes.
Dude,
like,
what happened? Oh God. It's 3 episodes for the Frieza saga where he's charging up that Spirit Bomb.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, it's an incredible show. And I wish I would have watched it more. I really do. I just couldn't. It just did not. It was never, I could never keep up with it. So my number two.
Number two.
Yeah. My number two, Yu-Gi-Oh. It's probably again, it came out, Yu-Gi-Oh came out when I was 10, and I was obsessed with the card game. Like, obsessed with it. Like, more than the Pokemon trading card game, because the Pokemon trading card game, for anyone that doesn't know this, when it first came out, again, I was 7, so, like, it was literally made for me, and, like, my age group. And you didn't battle with them.
No, it was too confusing.
It was too confusing for a kid to try and actually play the game correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So you would just collect them. Yu-Gi-Oh! Was the first game where, like, it made sense, and, like, the card art was sick, the stuff used was awesome, and the show was good. Like, it was very interesting throughout the whole way of it. And I remember, again, the first season of it is so long. I don't know how shows did that, but it was, like, over 100 episodes, too, the first season. And I remember, like, just, like, loving it. And, again, it was another show that, like, I would watch at, like, a 5 p.m. on YTV, like, every single day, like, had to, like... But yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh! Show was one of the GOATs. It's my number two.
Dude, I remember everybody in like 4th or 5th grade was just playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Every day at school. It was the best thing.
Yep.
And then watching the show, you would see like, you know, maybe a new card
come out.
Was
my dragon and like stuff like
that. Yeah. And then you could follow along with like the cards as they would release them.
Yep.
Yeah.
One of my favorite moments as a kid, went to 7-Eleven. When my parents first got divorced, they went through that phase where they just buy me everything
because
they felt bad for me. And I was just like, wee, like two rooms, like two stuff, like, you know what I mean? So my mom would give me like $20 like to go buy Pokemon cards, Yu-Gi-Oh cards like every week. And I remember going to 7-Eleven with my buddies and I bought a random pack of like the first, I think they were called Metal Colossus or something. It was the very first series. And I remember pulling a Red Eyes Black Dragon. And it's not nearly as powerful as, like, Blue Eyes was in the show or Dark Magician, but the card was so rare. And this, again, this is, like, pre-consumer internet, like, 2000 and 2001. This is before, like, everyone had a computer and it was normal. So you did not have access to social media and, to, like, pulling that card, and because it's, like, so famous on the show, I was like, this is the sickest thing ever. And I will never forget, like, running to my buddy's house, be like, look what I pulled.
Yeah. Dark Magician, I forgot about that card. That's a pretty sick
card.
Dark
Magician.
Yeah. All right, my number one, I think it's the best cartoon of all time, even as an adult, Batman the Animated Series. I don't know if you watched it as a kid. It started, I think, around 1992. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of the few like kids cartoons that can be enjoyed as an adult. Lot of like mature themes, I guess. Perfect representation of Batman. I'm a huge Batman fan. And I still watch it as an adult every now and then.
I hate superhero movies. Just don't like them. I think it's because they're not, I know that they can't be real. Like
that's the thing about Batman, right? He can be real.
Technically he could be. Yeah, I guess. But like there's parts of him that make no sense. But yeah, I guess like Batman would be the closest one too. But yeah, I just never found it interesting. I don't know why. Like even Spider-Man didn't like enjoy. And again, like I was a kid during when Spider-Man like blew up. Yeah. Like Tobey Maguire, I was like 10 when that came out. Like so I get the reasoning behind it though. Like that makes sense. I'm trying to think of like there's ones I left off the list before I give my number one. I feel like everyone can probably guess given my list already. But like Bugs Bunny, my grandma, who was like my best friend, loved Bugs Bunny. And anytime I stayed with her a lot when my dad would have to travel for work, my mom, they both worked a lot. And we would just watch hours of Bugs Bunny. And it was so dumb. And I loved it. So that show could be up there, but it didn't hit the same. Mm-hmm. It's more of like a good, nice memory for me than an actual good show. But my number one is the first season of Digimon.
Oh, and
it
God.
That is goated. Like, you never watched the first season of Digimon?
Never got into it. I was always Pokemon. And in my school, in like second grade, it was like one or the other, and everybody was Pokemon.
That's so sad. Yeah. I understand that. Like, Digimon cards were scuffed. Like, if you collected Digimon cards, you were a loser.
They looked
so
cheaper,
I get that.
Too.
But the show, though. And the first video game on PlayStation, because you got to remember that Pokemon was only one game. Like there was like Pokemon Snap or the Tetris game, and like those aren't the same. Like the first Digimon game was like an RPG on PlayStation 1, and you build a city, and it is one of the most difficult fun games that you can play. And but man, the first season of Digimon, like. I remember being pissed off that I had to go and play like travel baseball because I couldn't at Saturday morning watch like what would happen with like, you know, Piedmon and like, you know, Metal Garurumon. They were having this like epic battle and I couldn't watch the finish of it. Like, oh, that was tough.
But I still don't even know what Digimon's about.
The brief synopsis is these kids get trapped in like a digital world.
Okay.
And they all, these eight like chosen ones get like these like, oh my god, these like watches, I guess, would be like, and they all end up getting a Digimon like tied to them, and they don't become the Digimon, like they're like, it's like same thing as Pokemon, but like they digivolve into like crazier things, and there's villains all over this island, so they land on this island, digital island, and there's like all these like natural habitat Digimon are like being attacked by like dark evil ones,
yeah,
and they basically all of them have to like go and like, you know. So there's the battles of them are really cool. Like I will say that, like the actual battles. Of them.
I mean, it has to be good because you have it over Pokemon, right? So
yep, yeah. Okay. The show specifically, the overarching thing, Pokemon beats anything.
Yeah,
but I'm excited to see in the comments like what there's a couple that we left off. Like Recess was good.
I went to see that. I remember seeing that movie as a kid because I think they had one come out in theaters. I was never into the show that much. Myself,
I remember Bobby's World when I was really young. I don't know if you knew Bobby's World.
I don't know that one.
It's too young for you, but yeah. There's going to be comments be like, dude, Bobby's World. I know it, but all right. That's not bad. What's our next week's top five? Let's get the juices flowing.
Yeah, what are our next week's top five? I like this cartoon one. That was a great idea by myself.
I think that was a good one.
Yeah. We've done TV and movies. I was also floating the idea of favorite sports teams of a specific year that aren't your favorite team.
Oh,
so like I like that one because I would have like I can't do the Steelers, I can't do the Penguins, right? And I'd probably limit it to hockey and football. Somebody has top five celebrity crushes too. And
that's a great one. Oh, I'm on board with that.
Top
one.
Five celebrity crushes in the top year that five. You had them too, because there's different times. Like absolutely. Whenever I was a kid, it was like Britney Spears, you know?
Yep. No, top five celebrity crushes, absolutely.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah,
that's next week's. I do like your idea of your sports one though.
We'll table that discussion.
100%. All right, guys, that is going to do it for episode 32 of Coffee and Chell. We did not talk a lot of Chell.
We talked for 10 minutes.
That's true. We got the mandatory 10 minutes in. You're right.
Yeah, dude, this is good. Dude, 32 episodes, 32 weeks in a row.
We're almost 50.
Yeah,
we're my age. We're older than me.
Yeah, by the time we get to, we're 5 months out from NHL.
Oh my god, dude, is that what it is? So, oh my god.
So that's like episode 56 or 57. So we'll have a year under our belts. At some point, dude, we probably
cross 100.
100 episodes?
Can you imagine?
I mean, if we do NHL 23 all the way, right? We're gonna.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, I always feel like there's this shelf life on my hobby here. So who knows when I'll reach that? But
it's never. But until we'll you start having fun.
I know, right? And this is, like I said, this is the only thing I do right now for content. So I'm having fun.
Let's go. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. And we'll see you then. Have a good one, guys.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.